and welcome to another episode of the Women in Agile podcast series. I'm your host, Renee Craven, and in this episode, I am joined by guest Vinnie Gill. Vinnie puts people and culture first. She enjoys connecting with people and companies to find their purpose, walking alongside them in their organizational growth journey. Her passion is influencing change at the enterprise level. Vinnie is deeply involved in the Agile community, speaking regularly at international conferences, and she has a special interest in educating and education being the tool that empowers people. I really enjoyed my conversation with Vinnie as we explore our common love of Pilates and the alignment between being an Agile coach and a Pilates instructor. We hope you enjoy. Vinnie, welcome. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Renee. Thank you. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. It's a evening here for me in Australia. So it's been a very hot day in Brisbane today. Very muggy. Storms around. Haven't had one yet, but I reckon we'll get one later. It's been very sticky. It's an early start to summer, that's for sure. How about you? I mean, it's early for you, right? You've just started your day.
It is early, but not too early. It's 8:30 here.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get cold, so obviously we're opposites. And I'm not sure whether I should say that I kind of miss the Australian summers, particularly the summers in Western Australia and in Perth. It wasn't that bad in Sydney. But it's a big change for me.
Yeah. How long did you live in Australia for?
About 9 years.
Right. Why did you choose Australia?
It was I've actually lived and worked in Europe, obviously the UK, because I'm from there. Even the Far East and Southeast Asia. And Australia always seems to be like that mecca and that dream for a lot of British people. It was then my partner and I wanted a different life. We wanted to try something different. And I always fundamentally believe, and this is something that I think a lot of people they can't get their head around how I live my life. And I feel the world is big. And there's a lot out there to explore, and I don't see my life as being fixed in one place, but that's because I chose my lifestyle and how I want to live and how I want to explore this world and work as well, I guess.
Yeah. Lovely. And usually people from the UK and move over to Australia for the sunshine, the promise of blue skies. But then you get the downside of that, of the super hot days, especially on the eastern side of Australia. Yeah.
It depends where you are. The summers in Sydney I struggled because it rained all the time, every day.
Right.
That was something I didn't really expect. But I miss the beach a lot. Especially when I was living in Perth, I was living 3 streets from the beach and 3 streets from the bush.
Yeah.
And that is really unique. And it's starting to mess with my head that when I can't see water, it starts to affect me a lot.
Yeah. I'm a bit like you. I need water. I need the beach. I need the ocean. And I'm about an hour from the ocean, and a couple of weeks ago we ran the Agile coaching retreat up the Sunshine Coast, and one of the first things I did was get into the water, and it was freezing cold, the water, because it was still getting it quite cool at night time, so the ocean temperature was still, I mean, the whales are still migrating and things like that, so the ocean's still quite cool when it was freezing in the ocean. But oh my god, it was so nice. I just gotta get, you know, when you dive under the waves and you just get it all, you know, it goes up your nose and in your eyes, and just, it's just so nice. It's such a nice feeling.
I heard about that retreat. I saw all my friends there.
Yeah.
So yeah, congratulations.
It was a great weekend. Yeah. Tiring, but great. So let's kick things off with our first opening question of how you found Agile. How did you find Agile, Vinny?
I actually found Agile through my husband, then partner, about 13 years ago. So I was working in projects and contracts, and there was consulting in mining and civil engineering and education as well, combined that. And we had teams based all over, because that's what we do, travel to mines, travel to construction sites. And my partner, then partner, he's a developer. So obviously he was, ahead of the curve, and he was already, working in this way. And some of our conversations were, tell me what you did at work and what happened. And so I started to learn about this thing called, a daily 15 minute. And at that point, it said, I'm planning poker, although now I'm in the no estimate camp, make that clear. And I started learning about retrospective, and then at that point I started to use elements with the teams that I was working with, and I didn't really know exactly what I was doing, but it was through reading, researching, and stories from his workplace being shared back home. And I remember at that point, I went to a senior leadership meeting, and it was our quarterly meeting. And they were really nice. The mining industry, we does have, and what was the terminology, an aging population, where there's a lot of older people. And then there was me. And I had, and I said, we're not having this meeting. We're going to do something called a retrospective. And I was carrying my board at that point. It was sailboat, and I'd drawn everything up. And there I was, in this room. And I actually still have a photo of it. I found it, and they just looked at me, and they're like, oh, right, we'll just let you do whatever you want to do. And they did let me do it, and funny enough, that was actually agility. They had it. They let me do something that didn't involve, structured meeting and agenda, typing out the minutes. And of course it was, not properly facilitated, because I didn't know stuff about then. Probably had like, 15 tickets for every area. It was like full. But that's my story, and then I just went from then on, and I went from projects to being a scrum master then, because agile coaching was not really a thing then. There was very, very few, if there was any. I don't know if there was any, but that's what I did, a lot of product management, in that space.
Nice. So it sounds like you were one of the few or only females when you were introducing, doing your retrospective.
There was one other female,
Right.
and me, but I clearly was the youngest by maybe 30 odd years or so.
Oh, funny. What have you observed about the role of women in the agile community over the years?
I think it could be better. It's getting there. It's getting there, but I really wish it's picking up. Women, diverse speakers, it's equity, right? We all don't start from the same starting point, right? We're all from different backgrounds, different stories. Nobody really knows our real story, where we're from. But I feel it really could be better. A good example is recently I was looking up some conferences, and whenever I apply for conferences, I like to see who were the past speakers and who was the keynote.
Mm.
And one of it had four keynote speakers. They were all male. It's 2023, right? It's Europe.
Yeah.
This is unacceptable. And another conference that I wanted to apply to, I went there and I looked at all the attendees, and then I started to count how many females there were. And I did my math, and it was 11%. I am tired of saying do better. Really, conferences really should do better. But
Agreed.
not just in conferences, it's just even in the workplace, giving opportunities, even if you want to coach certain leadership at certain levels, it's not always, a choice that women get first. This is what I observe. And if it is a choice that a female gets put first, it's always then, the age which people think equates to experience. So I quite like what we're doing here, which is actually elevating and giving us a space to have our say.
So something that we found that we have in common when we were putting together the Code of Ethics series, of which you are on one of those episodes, but we uncovered that we both have a love of Pilates and actually are both Pilates instructors. So that was different and unexpected and kind of nice. I was, yeah, it can be a bit of a lonely world or profession, I guess you could say, especially it's a bit weird in the social network world. There's lots and lots of Pilates instructors and sharing what they're doing and all of that sort of stuff, but I also still feel like it's pretty lonely. But yes, so how did you find Pilates?
When I moved to Sydney, I was trying to get work at that point, and it was challenging and difficult because although Australia always says that they have a skills shortage, they'll always tell you that you don't have local experience. For the life of me, I couldn't understand what that meant because I had already moved to Australia with, a solid 10 years of experience working. And it was, I was new in this country. I felt isolated. I felt lonely. I was trying to cope. And there was a Pilates studio. Well, they started with a Groupon. Obviously, when you're not working, you look for all these discounts, right? And, I started to go, and I thought it helped me give a routine. I've heard about Pilates, but this was a reformer studio, and I that was my place. That was my routine. I used to go for the 10 o'clock classes, and then I'll get my coffee, and then I'll sit outside in the sun, and that's how it all started. And then after a few years, I think about 4 or 5 years, I decided to become a Pilates teacher or a Pilates instructor. I am Australian trained. I am really proud of that because I know Australia has a really high bar when it comes to sports. We definitely love our sports. I have a certificate for in teaching and training Pilates. I trained through the evidence-based branch, and my teacher is a physiotherapy, and that resonated with me because I like work. I think almost everybody has some kind of injury or aches or niggles, and particularly being an office worker, that's really important, the science behind it. And that's the evolution, right? Because if you speak to all the Pilates people, you've got the classical branch. Then you have, like your And then you've got the Polestar. And
There's quite a few places, I guess, that you can do your instructor course, and some of them ones you can do over the weekend. And congratulations, you're a Pilates instructor. And then there's ones that are a lot more thorough. Mine was, so I studied through BASI, which is American actually, but they're very, that took me a year to do. I had to do 12 modules, which was 12 weekends worth. And then I had to do a whole heap, I think it was like, it was 200 or 300 hours worth of observation. So I had to observe an instructor teaching classes, and then I had to do 600 hours of practice myself on, both mat and all of the apparatus. And then the final part was, well, final two parts. One was writing a paper, and another one was your exam day, which was teaching a client for an hour, and you had to do it in 60 minutes. You had to be on the dot and had to use at least three apparatus in your class, and it had to flow through the, they call it the BASI block. So you've got to do it in a certain different areas of the spine, movement of the spine, and at different areas of the body in certain order. And yeah, man, that was very, very, very stressful day, that one. I was so glad when that was over. But yeah, the rest is kind of history. But yeah, there's some instructors that are not have just got their instructor become Pilates instructors, I guess, in just a weekend, which
Overnight.
is so
Yes.
scary.
Which is also what's happening in our industry, right? You have agile coaches mushrooming, overnight. Everybody's an agile coach, right? For many reasons. And I actually see that happening in the Pilates industry as it did in our industry. And I was fortunate enough to live next to somebody that was classically trained by one of the elders from Joseph Pilates. Yes, everybody, if you're listening to this, Joseph Pilates is a person. He is
And
a
a male.
person.
He's a male.
And he's pretty fit and ripped. And that's what Pilates can do for you and your body, very strong core. And she was actually trained to one of the remaining elders that were that are still alive. And she was very particular that I knew the basics and the basics right. So the whole classical repertoire. And that was what we always say, when some people say, oh, you're too much by the book, you're too much by the book. Hey, listen, I need to know by the book before, and then bring in your experience. You need to understand the reason and the reasoning why. And that was something similar to in our industry. But I remember those observation hours because I was working as well and commuting with the Sydney, horrible, horrible two commute, two different modes of transportation. And then I'd sit in the Pilates studio and do my observation hours. By the time I'd reach home would be like 9 at night. Was a killer.
And I did mine during COVID as well. So, I could observe some of the online classes that people were doing, had started doing, more the mat classes than anything else. So I could do my mat observation hours, but I couldn't do my apparatus ones. And then finally, when things started to open up, so I had to kind of bank my, I couldn't do any of my observation hours for ages until I could actually get into a studio and watch somebody. But yes, it's interesting that all of the stuff that we do, well, at least the BASI stuff is very aligned to Joseph Pilates' original stuff as well. And yeah, Joseph actually put it, started to put their stuff together during World War One. That's how old Pilates is, and the apparatus that he created, so like the reformer and the Cadillac and the chair, things like that. It's
Just
funny, you
to
see
help
old
injured.
photos of that stuff, and he's made it out of, PVC piping and things like that. It's amazing what he was coming up with way back then, and it's still basically exactly the same today.
It was to help the injured soldiers at that point. And so similar to you and I, we actually get our Pilates history. We understand it, and that I feel transforms to the agile world where you should understand the origins and how it came along and how it's evolving. And I feel even our industry, the Pilates industry, has come on its own journey as well.
It's that shuhari learning, in a pl like when we were learning our Pilates stuff, it was just like you said, follow it by the book, and then once you've done that, then you can start to experiment and figure out what works for you and what doesn't work for you, and what works for your clients and what doesn't work for your clients. And when people come in injured, you have to go, oh, okay, let's not do that thing that I was going to plan, that I was planning on doing then. Let's do something else instead. You'll be pretty flexible and adaptable, with your classes as well.
So Renee, you actually had a story that you were telling me previously in our chats that you said that you had you were working with somebody who had, was it MS? Yes.
And I still, she still, we still have a session every week. It was quite a steep learning curve for me because she was my first client that had a condition like that. And I did a lot of research beforehand. And there's some great videos on YouTube of instructors in Europe working with clients with MS, so I watched a heap of those, and I talked to her treating exercise physiologist and all of that sort of stuff, and I thought I was pretty prepared. But I think it really put my and I'm glad that I had my background of agile coaching, actually, because I have used that to a new level with that client, because she I have to be really, 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 really present with her. I can't let my mind wander, or I can't just try something off the cuff. I have to listen, and I'd not just listen to what she's saying, but listen to what is happening with her body. Because some weeks she'll rock up and she's good. She says she feels good. And then there'll be other times where she's really, really tired. And you can just see it. Her body just tells you how it is, how it's feeling. So I have to adjust my class based on like the resistance and things like that. I just adjust. But yes, that whole listening to more than just what she was saying, it really helped me to hone those listening skills, definitely. And I don't know how I would have coped with that if I was a Pilates instructor that wasn't also an agile coach.
No, you're absolutely right there, because I feel, of course, we need to have our lesson plans before. And if you're teaching reformer, there is a lot of things going on. If you remember the days that we are new, you're teaching a class, say about eight people, or I try not to teach anything more than eight because that's a question of ethics and morals for me.
I agree, 100%.
Joseph would never have any more than, I think it was four or something,
Yeah,
five.
I
Yeah, Matt.
four is my preference, definitely.
Yeah. because, and people don't understand this, right? They want cheap. They think more is better, and the heavier they do, it's all about form. And as a teacher, I need to be touching them for feedback. And it's important that they get the posture correct, because I have seen people not being corrected, and this is during my observation hours, where they were not, teacher was not correcting them, and I've seen them get into more of a kyphotic state, you know. And this, like you talk about, like teaching, we do have our lesson plans. With reformer, there's too many things going on. You have to check them. You know, the next exercise is already in your head. You know, have a quick relook at your lesson plan, and then you're helping them with the springs, and you're cueing the springs, and you're adjusting the box, and you're doing so many different things. You have to be on and have it pat down. But at the same time, you have your plan. Sometimes things don't go according to plan, because somebody will have an injury, and somebody will be, you know, might be pregnant or something like that. And you really have to, like, observe and say, okay, you do this, but you do that, and you do that, and you do that. It's multiple things going on. And I feel like being an agile coach helps me be a better Pilates instructor, and being a Pilates instructor and helps me be a better agile coach. I feel that those two skills complement each other, and I'm learning from both sides and transferring it. Another example is, I used to work in a physio studio in Sydney. So I don't know if Redo Health in Balmain, Brendan, if you're listening, I miss you.
Shout out.
Yes. And you know, Brendan's just like the nicest employer anyone could find. And I specialize in bone health, because you know, it affects, in Australia, is 1 in 4 males. Surprisingly, males always think they it's not a thing for them, and it's 1 in 2 females over the age of 50. These were the stats that we looked up then. And so, you know, putting together like master classes and info classes, so that people can get educated, so you'd have that session. And that's the whole, you know, the teaching and the training in Agile, and how you actually structure the class. And then after that, teaching that part, and that's the facilitation skills. I love teaching that class. I love the people in that class. Yeah, and I miss them very much.
Something else that I realized that I do from a trainer or teacher perspective in my online classes. So I started having to, well, I started doing online classes during COVID, mat classes, not apparatus, just mat classes. And when I started teaching, they were the first classes I ever did. I had some people that volunteered to let me practice on them. And I was cueing them. I mean, I do the class as I'm teaching as well, but I was cueing them with the cues that made sense to me and from what I'd learnt from my instructors. And I could see, because I have them on my big TV screen in my studio, and I could see that they didn't know what the hell I was talking about, and they were just kind of watching what I was doing with my body to kind of copy what I was doing. I'm like, well, no, my cues obviously suck. I need to do something about my cues here. And so I don't know if you've read, but there's a lot of cue imagery. There's imagery books that you can read, and so I started to throw some of those in, like. And was cueing bone rhythm sometimes that made sense for people, or cueing, feel like you've got a corset on and you're shrinking you're tightening that corset and your waist is shrinking and feeling that, your core switched on in that way. I have a one with a laser pointer, and I probably shouldn't say it on the podcast, but my clients, if they're listening, will know what I'm talking about. But I tell them to put pretend you've got this laser pointer somewhere, and then right now it's pointing between your heels, and now tuck your pelvis, and it's pointing towards the back of your knees now. And cute, and then laying your spine one down onto the mat, one vertebra at a time, and things like that. So, I had to experiment with my cueing and just to get the different people in my classes to understand what we were trying to do, without having to actually just watch me all of the time.
Yeah, I always found that really, really, really tricky. That cueing part, because obviously, when you study this, there was like months of anatomy work, right, in the course, and
Yes.
sometimes I get could confuse it. Sometimes I purposely like left and right, is that those basic things that you can actually forget. And when I was first started teaching, I used to write like L and R in the set, just in case sometimes you just get like stressed out or panic, because you're new at that point. It didn't come, it wouldn't have come as smoothly as it does now. But hey, I saw that a while ago when Lisa Atkins was visiting Australia, you actually gave her a class.
Yeah,
I
I
remember
did.
that on.
Yeah, she we did a reformer session, and it was I don't even know how long we went for, actually, but it was one of those moments where like I took a photo of her doing mermaid on the reformer, and it was like, this photo looks like I have put some kind of filter onto it. Like, it's kind of looks like she's glowing around the outside. I swear I did not put a filter on that
That was
photo.
just Lisa, right? That's
It
just
was
the
just
energy
this,
that you
it
put.
was just this weird, yeah, it was a really, we talk about our flow state. We talk about getting into a flow state, which I do when I'm doing my Pilates, whether I'm teaching it or I am doing it myself. I find that flow state, which is, it's kind of almost mindfulness as well at the same time. But we just found this flow state. It was a, it wasn't an intense session. It was just moving and doing what felt right for her at that time. And yeah, it was a very special session, one that will always kind of stay with me, definitely. And she loved it as well. So that was that was a nice bonus. Like, oh, phew, Lisa liked her session. That's good.
Yeah, it's nice. You gave her a nice Pilates session when she visited us in Edinburgh. We took her to a mini Highlands tour,
Oh,
along with
lovely.
some of my friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's nice. She visits different areas and she gets to sample the, we say
Yeah.
the quote unquote local delicacies of the flavor of the agile folk. Renee, I love your office worker series. They're really wee videos, 5 minutes. I've watched them myself as well, because I have a really bad habit. When I'm working from home, I do not get up. And I have to be the person that I tell other people, or I
Yeah,
preach to
you have to
other people,
practice
or
what you
that.
preach. Yeah.
Yeah, other clients,
Yeah.
and that's only when I can be my authentic self. I feel that same way with,
Yeah.
in agile ways of working as well. I find that really, really helps. Like sometimes I would just sit and not move, and I wouldn't even eat or some, wouldn't even get a drink or something, which is really bad. You're just constantly on. Now this is where people say, oh, well, people who work from home are, I feel, we're by far a lot more productive. Your office series has really helped me, because they're just 5 minutes. Everybody can afford
Yes.
that 5 minutes to just switch off,
Yep.
and have a stretch. And I do miss it the days that I do go into work, because I can't just go to my carpet.
Yeah, there's potentially two of those videos that you could do at work without looking like a fool, but Thank you for saying that, because it means a lot coming from a fellow Pilates instructor. That's always made me pretty nervous about sharing it with the Pilates world, because getting critiqued and whatever else. But my main motivation behind that was definitely during COVID, when we were all working from home, and I just wanted to get people moving. But even now, with the half in the office, half not, or whatever it is, it's still real. Sitting down is just really bad for you. And some people will say to me, but I stand up or I walk around. I'm like, well, that's great, but your posture is still the same as if you were sitting down. You're still getting the rounded shoulders. You were potentially getting a bit of a hunchback happening, tight neck, shoulders, traps, all of that sort of stuff. Your head's forward, especially when we're on our phones.
Yes,
And
that's a big one.
if you're up walking around, you still would have that posture. Yes, you're moving your hips, so that's great. But you would still have that upper posture. So a lot of my videos, I've tried to focus on the reverse of that to strengthen our back extensors, so that we can stand up tall or sit up tall, or at least be aware of, get people's self-awareness of their muscles in their bodies, and what you need to kind of engage to undo the posture you've been sitting at for a couple of hours. So that was my main motivation. It's still a little bit of an experiment. I'd have to I broke my rule, and I set up an experiment without actually having any metrics, because I didn't know how to measure it. But come one of the things that's on my list to do next year is to actually, figure out what does success of this look like, how much longer I'm going to run my experiment for, to see if it is something that I continue doing or not. Because it is a lot of effort to, there's a couple of hours worth of work in recording and editing and putting up those videos for a 5 minute or less video outcome. So it's a return on investment kind of question that I
But
have to
you know
figure
what,
out.
Renee? Don't bother about editing the videos. I don't do that with Samantha videos because, well, I don't know how to edit, and I can learn, but I don't want to spend time. And I feel it's good enough. It's good enough. It's raw. It's real.
Yeah,
I think
it's more
just.
that when I record, I'll do a couple in a row. So I've got to chop them and that stuff.
I want to pick up on what you say, because this is something quite big for me. And when I teach Pilates, and this is my ethos, I always feel that we spend a lot of our times on desk. And so I always focus on the extension exercises. That's really, really important, because you're sitting here and your stomach's always on this way because of the curvature of your spine. And I always say to people, like, that's great, you're working, you're getting good money, but can you not get a proper desk set up? A lot of You wouldn't believe this, but the amount of people I know that don't, and it's not because they don't have space, they just don't want to. They're just working on the kitchen table, working here, working there, and they think that's fine to just have a proper desk set up, to ensure that your legs are raised properly. And then again, I have a standing desk, yeah, but your muscles are not being stretched. And this is why it doesn't mean that you go to the gym, you don't do Pilates. The functions are very different, right? Gym, you kind of bulk up, but in Pilates, we lengthen. We always talked about lengthening the spine, lengthening the spine, think tall.
Stretch,
And to actually get that posture correction, that's really important, because nobody has a perfect posture. I'm quite sway back,
So am
and it's tr you yes. So it's
I.
like trying to like get everything back into it. And this is why, like when you go to group classes, you're just being taught the same thing, but actually, if you have different body postures. You should not be doing certain exercises. Everybody's not the same. And while I'm saying this, I'm also thinking about all the, the agile and the frameworks and everything where they're just like, oh, everybody's the same. Here, you just do that. And then people have different symptoms, right? So it's actually the same way, experimenting, finding the problem, and not just letting everybody, and that's the injury that I said. I saw this older person just get into a more kyphotic state because they were just kept doing lunges, and that was just not recommended for their body type.
Yes. Ah, we could go on forever.
We could.
We should probably start to wrap up though. So bringing it back to where we all started, but from a professional growth perspective, what are you doing for your own professional growth?
So at this moment, I've got a few things always going on. I've always had a coach, an agile coach, to always see my blind spots. I've had not the same one, but different people for different things, as you probably know. It's been maybe 6 or 7 years. Always believed that if I'm going to be coaching other people, I should be open to coaching as well. So that's always in the background and in the burner. And this person is very busy, but has always generously found time for me. And then meetups and all. I always still make sure that I keep abreast. I'm still in the community. I'm still actively contributing and giving back. But the other thing that I'm actually doing at the moment is I am working with a few people to put together some of their talks, sessions, and workshops. And although they say that, they, because I'm sure you do that as well, I do that as well. When I'm putting something together, I like to collaborate with somebody and get somebody's opinion. They probably think that, okay, they're getting my opinion or my feedback, but the truth is, I'm actually learning from them. So it's a different kind of different way and different learning, and I'm really excited. I've got a couple of good friends that I always have, really deep conversations, and I'm part of a couple of Slack groups as well. No formal courses yet this year. Probably 1 or 2 next year, depending on, the economy isn't great. So I'm just looking at the different ways.
Yeah, lovely. What about Pilates? Are you doing any study? Well, how do you grow your Pilates knowledge?
I'm in a lot of groups and I'm constantly reading stuff, reading articles, looking at YouTube videos, but even us having this conversation as well, that's growth. That's gonna help me teach differently and, pivot my style and my ways of working as well. So, of course, there are some of those formal online courses that you have to do sometimes to keep up those hours that you're doing. I haven't been teaching for a few months. No, for a while actually, so I need to get back into teaching again, because of the move and everything. It's this unsettling. So
You'll find your
that's me.
space again. Find that balance. That's what I find with Pilates. It gives me that balance in my life. Like I can do my coaching work, I can do my training courses, delivering them, and run my Pilates studio. And I find that Pilates gives you that. It's like you said before, the skills are complementary. But it's, I think also with the Pilates clients, you are getting that your feedback cycle is quite short,
Yes.
like every hour.
Yeah.
And you're making someone feel really good about themselves, body wise and mind wise. They've kind of given you an hour of their life, so it's quite rewarding. in that way.
Yeah, I should be doing more though. I know that I've kind of let the teaching part of the practice go away for a while, but I'm kind on myself. I think that's okay for a while, for a wee while, and then you'll come back to it for you'll come back to it. But at this moment, when somebody's not having good posture or not on good desk, you will hear from me, or sometimes I'm like helping them, or kind of doing minor adjustments.
Do you have any final wisdom that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
Because we're talking a bit about Pilates and agility, I quite like this thing that I've always said, and hopefully it will transcend into both worlds, whatever you're doing. Be kind to yourself. That's something that I really grappled and found it hard to actually understand. If you're on your journey, be it agility, or going through some change, or change in yourself, or Pilates change, or change in your body, or any kind of change that you are going through, just be kind to yourself. And I fundamentally believe that it really takes a village. To do something, even in terms of agility, different people will come and peck at the system. Different people will come and go, and they'll touch your lives hopefully in different ways and bring in different changes. Similarly to Pilates, my Pilates journey, and I hope the journey of my students as well. It's people will come in their lives and help them at different points, right? Even life, or even in gym, you try different things, be brave, try something, take a break, schedule those breaks in your calendar, like block it off. I actually got told off before once when I actually blocked my 30 minutes for lunch. And that's just me. The first thing I go into a new thing, I will block that space. Okay, this is my lunchtime, my time to catch up with emails. And I actually got told off, oh, you shouldn't be doing that. And I was like, no. I am going to do that, because if I don't do it, I'm just not going to stop. So try these little things.
Beautiful. Thank you, Vinny. It's been lovely speaking to you today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Women in Agile podcast series. It is brought to you in partnership from the Women in Agile nonprofit and scrum.org. We hope you've learned something new and invite you to tell a friend or a coworker about the podcast. Please go online to womeninagile.org to learn more about our initiative and find more inspiring podcast conversations.